Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning by quoting, or at least to quote, at least as close to the quote as I can get, something that you hear every now and then. You hear different phrases that really hit home because they are compatible with things that we have been taught. And where and when I hear these things, if I remember where I hear them, I need to acknowledge who said them. So this quote came from one of the Harry Potter movies. And in this particular movie, Harry, along with his classmates, have witnessed and experienced the death of a classmate. And in the end, through the grieving process, Professor Dumbledore looks at him and says, "Harry, don't grieve the dead. Don't pity the dead. Pity the living. And more importantly, pity those who live without love." Strong words. This last week, I happened across another show on television that spoke about the differences in religions. A gentleman that travels the world to see how different religions, especially in very, very small, secluded, isolated places, are observed, and the traditions of them. But first, he started in a place where you wouldn't think he would, and it didn't start with a religion. It started in Las Vegas, Nevada. Started with a very, very nice man who was a confirmed atheist. Now, I don't know how much or how much you've been exposed to atheism in the disbelief of anything other than the fact that we are a biological accident and all there is this physical being, and when it's gone and there isn't anything else. There are those that believe that and can explain it softly and quietly and literally live with the fact that this is all there is. And that's what this gentleman did while he was on TV. He simply explained what he believed. He was posed with the question, what happens when you die? It's nothing. My family has my life experiences. They have my memories. They have pictures. Nothing. And then you have those that do not believe, that take it one step further, but then look to the people of faith and persecute them for the very fact that they have faith. It almost seems as though they attack because they are incapable of believing. When you hear these things, the human response is to be angry and to be frustrated, and you want to be part of that conversation to explain to them how wrong they have it. But in the end, as I found myself the other evening, I found myself pitying them. I felt sorry for them. I found myself praying for them. Because we're not to pity those who live life in Christ. We're not to pity those who live life in the love of God through Christ Jesus. But I cannot help but pity those who live life without it. Jesus comes to the tomb knowing Lazarus has died. And for years I've always asked the question, for whom or why did he weep? Was it for Lazarus? He could have gotten up straight away and came to Lazarus before Lazarus passed away. And yet he let things play out, for in his actions, God's glory would be revealed. So I hardly think at that point, knowing that Lazarus had already passed away, was already entombed, that he wept for Lazarus. But when he approached and saw the people that were mourning, and saw the grief, and saw the pain, and saw the lack of hope. Now they were taught and they were preached to about the resurrection on the last day. But there was this judgmental God. There was this God that was going to have a checklist. And they lived in fear of living up to that. So without knowing this, death was a dark and an empty, scary place. At times with no answers, and when it did, you didn't like them. You feared them. And they lived without hope. They lived without a promise. And yet Jesus standing there knew that's exactly who he was. That in and through him there was not only life for Lazarus, but life for them too. To give them hope that even in their loss of a loved one, that they could take the trials of each and every day and still live in life and in light of Christ. To be able to walk through life with confidence, knowing that Christ is there. My feeling is, he wept for them. He felt pity. He was not at a point where he could tell but only show. And although we look at Lazarus and say, well, maybe can't he do that for everybody? Yet at the same time, we know that in the words and the light of Christ, that there is life. And even in death, there is life still. And that is what we've come today to remember and to celebrate. Our joy, our hope, and our confidence in a God that through his Son took away that sting of death, took away that uncertainty, took away that fear, not just in dying, but in living as well. And that on that last day, that even in death, there is life. Because the cold, hard truth, folks, is that the day will come. There will be a candle here for me. There will be a candle here for each and every one of you. But that candle will not burn to remember your death. That candle burns to celebrate life. Life in our Lord Jesus Christ. So for those of you today where the hurt is still near, mourning is a good thing. It's a healing thing. And for those of you where the loss is far off, but you still remember, we look and we remember the life, and we celebrate the life that is in Christ. When I look at people that live without that promise, I can only pity. I can only feel sympathy. I can only pray, and I can only do what I can humanly, actively do to help them understand the love of God through Christ Jesus and the hope that that brings each and every one of us. In time, we will all come to understand that in Christ Jesus, we needn't pity and feel sorry for those that have passed on. That we need to pity, feel sorry, and minister to those who live without Christ. Amen.